In 2006, Lily Kieber was a newcomer to New Orleans when she pressed this button on a barroom jukebox. That song, Tico Tico, is a New Orleans standard, but the man playing the heck out of that piano has been on Kieber's mind ever since. He's the focus of her upcoming documentary, a local legend many call the best piano player to come out of New Orleans in 100 years. That's saying something. Gwen Tompkins has more.
Every day in New Orleans, Lily Kieber rolls out of bed and walks to a flat minor office building to meet her muse. Kieber makes a cup of coffee with chicory, hooks up her computer, and waits for what sounds like a dozen spiders to crawl across a piano. That's him. He's here. Kieber is making a documentary about James Booker, the piano wizard of New Orleans, the black, gay, one-eyed junkie, the tutor of Dr. John and Harry Connick Jr., the man who first called his fingers spiders on the keys. James Booker, remember that name.
Well, you don't have to tell me what it's all about. Just come on in my house.
James Booker was one of our country's greatest piano players. You can find musicians who are really good at classical, and you can find musicians who are really good at street music, but it's a special breed that can master both.
As a child, James Booker was a classical music prodigy, but he grew up to originate a style of piano play that few can emulate. Here he is delivering Chopin's Minute Waltz to an audience at a New Orleans bar and laundromat. And here he is playing the blues in Switzerland. Spiders on keys, heart on sleeve.
Well, I just keep on playing for my baby. Well, another day has gone right now.
But in a town where Soul Queen Irma Thomas stands next to you at the dry cleaners and Dr. John turns up at the grocery store, people often take their musical legends for granted. Sometimes it takes an outsider like Lily Kieber to remind everyone that genius is rare. Kieber was born in North Carolina and schooled in Georgia. She moved to New Orleans just a few years ago.
You know, I knew Dr. John, I knew Irma Thomas, I knew the Meters, you know, I knew the big names, and I did not know James Booker at all. I had never even heard the name. So when it eventually started to dawn on me that this was a real guy, and that he really did play this amazing music that's coming out of the jukebox, that sort of floored me.
Don't call me crazy, don't you dare try to call me all out of my name. If you had my feelings, I'm quite sure you'd feel the same.
Perhaps the biggest challenge to Kieber's project is that James Booker is unavailable for comment. He died almost 30 years ago, before Kieber was born.
Many people have described him as a great conversationalist, and he loved people. But then if I ask them, you know, well, what was his family like? They don't know anything. How did he learn how to play piano? They don't know anything. He could talk about anything in the world except himself.
But so far, Kieber has been able to unearth more than anyone ever has, including eyewitnesses and film footage from concerts in Europe. It might help that she comes from a family of academic researchers and coal miners. Kieber's not afraid of tumbling headfirst down a rabbit hole.
Booker has a song, Papa Was a Rascal. And the song is very autobiographical. The problem is, it's also very poetic. And so deciphering what he's actually saying in it has been very tricky. There's one line, when I was a young boy at the age of 9, I met a sweet Russian woman and I made her mine. Now, what does that mean?
I was a young boy about the age of 9. I found a sweet Russian woman.
When Booker was a kid, he was hit by an ambulance and, you know, drugged down the street and broke his leg, and they gave him morphine for the pain. And he always pointed to that to being the beginning of his addiction. The best I can tell, he spent all of the 60s and most of the 70s on heroin. Luckily, I actually found an interview where he says precisely that. This line, he's listening to the song and he says, this line, I was hit by an ambulance, I got addicted to heroin from that. That's this sweet Russian woman.
Why is she Russian?
I don't know. I guess Russian is close to Afghanistan, and that's where the heroin comes from. I assume that's where he's going with that.
Some of the best interviews in the documentary explain how Booker could play the way he did. Even to a trained ear, the man sounded like he had three hands. His former students tell it best. Dr. John, for instance, learned organ from Booker, and Harry Connick Jr. took piano lessons.
There was nobody that could even remotely come close to his piano playing ability. I've played Chopin etudes, I've done the whole thing. There's nothing harder than James.
Want to know why?
He used to play Sunnyside, and that was kind of his arrangement. And I remember him showing me the bass line to that, and at the time I couldn't play it. He would play like stride piano, which is note, chord, but he had a different way of doing it. Like a traditional stride. That's kind of a traditional stride, but James would go one, and this is two, and three, four, and one. So that was a basic bass line he had for Sunnyside, and when he played the melody, he would put notes in the middle, instead of going playing right on the melody, he would put rolls in instead of...
Just when you think you've got a handle on James Booker, he's morphed into somebody else. Booker is the actual pianist on any number of R&B and pop hits, impersonating the styles of better-known artists, including Fats Domino.
So if you listen to the record Fats Is Back, if you go through and you really listen to the piano, you can tell. Fats was a great piano player, but he wasn't on the level of Booker.
I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll tonight. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock, we're gonna roll until the dawn tonight.
Booker was also a sideman for Aretha Franklin, the Doobie Brothers, Ringo Starr, and Lloyd Price. But other than some childhood recordings, he only released three albums in his lifetime. His addictions got the better of him. Heroin, cocaine, alcohol.
Booker wanted to be famous, but he didn't behave like someone who really wants to be well known. He wouldn't show up to gigs. If he did show up, would he be in the mood to play? He really was frustrated by the fact that he couldn't make it, but he didn't do himself any favors.
Booker's mood swings were extreme. David Torkanowski is a jazz pianist and band leader.
I remember there was a regular Tuesday night Booker solo at Tipitina's. Finally, the lights dim, and Booker walks out. He was wearing nothing but a huge diaper with a huge gold safety pin holding the diaper. And from behind the diaper, he pulls out a .357 Magnum, puts it to his own head, and announces to the audience, if somebody doesn't give me some f***ing cocaine right now, I'm f***ing pulling the trigger. I mean, it went from can't wait to hear him play to like, oh my God.
Still trawling for more photographs and concert film footage. But she says there are parts of James Booker's story that died with him.
I could spend the rest of my life researching Booker, and I will never know what it was really like to walk in Booker's shoes. He was a mystery to the people who knew him best. But I feel like it must be some combination of being intensely intelligent, a child prodigy, very gifted, but then living a life that was a constant exercise in struggle.
Kieber is currently wading through 45 hours of tape and hopes to finish the film this year. But she's raised less than half the money she needs to digitize, edit, and color correct the picture. She also has to pay all the licensing fees for the music. She's under enormous pressure to, as Dr. John told her, bring Booker back from the dead.
The audience that I worry about the most and feel most beholden to is the one here in New Orleans. Because for one, they are the ones who are going to know most whether I did my job or not. And I also know that they won't hesitate to tell me.
If Kieber comes through, she'll have restored the Piano Prince of New Orleans to his throne and perhaps brought him the national audience that eluded him in life. Then he wouldn't be just a black, gay, one-eyed, junky piano player. He'd be golden.
If I never am again another friend, I still really wouldn't be so worried. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny, sunny side of the street. Oh, yeah, on the sunny. I'm talking about the sunny line, the sunny side. Oh, well, the sunny, sunny time, sunny side of the street.
James Booker. Remember that name.
Gwen Tompkins filed this report from New Orleans. For more information about Lily Kieber's documentary, please visit our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.